Who doesn't like a good story? I know I do. I love a great scary story. And when is the best time to tell a scary story? Obviously at night and in the dark. So in tonight's episode, we're going to be talking about none other than scary stories to tell in the dark. Stay tuned and we'll dive right in. All right, thank you for joining us for another episode of the Captain Groovy and Final Girl podcast. The Final Girl is on hiatus today. So today, I have a special guest with me.
It's Little Groovy Girl.
The Little Groovy Girl is here joining me today as we talk about none other than scary stories to tell in the dark. So, Groovy Girl, how have you been since the last podcast we've had?
Pretty great. But I did get sick a little.
Oh, yeah. No, I know. I'm glad that you're feeling better. Are you excited to talk about scary stories to tell in the dark?
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, let's go here a little bit. Let me just give a little history here. Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark was directed by Andre Overdahl. And I guess the screen story was written by Guillermo del Toro, along with Kevin Hageman and Dan Hageman. And this was a PG-13 film, and it was made in 2019. So this movie takes place in 1968, and it revolves around three friends, actually four friends. But do you remember what day it takes place on?
It's October 31st, aka Halloween.
Okay. Do you remember what they were dressed as?
Yeah. A kid named Chuck was dressed up as Spider-Man. Not the superhero one. It was just a spider combined with a man.
Yeah, because he told his mom was going to make him a costume, and he told his mom he wanted to be Spider-Man, and she actually made him a man that was into a spider, or a spider that was into a man.
Yeah.
Not knowing that it was the superhero, you know, that we all know, Spider-Man.
Yeah. And a boy named Augie was a clown. He wasn't that scary. And there was a girl named Stella who was a witch. And she actually put like blood around her neck to make it look like a witch. It was fake blood. And she also got these little pimple things to put on her face to make it look like she's a witch. And she painted her face green which I think is face paint. Green face paint.
Yeah, so it starts off with them going out trick-or-treating. And they end up getting, you know, confronted by a couple of bullies that end up trying to steal their candy. But this time, they're kind of prepared that the bullies were going to come and steal their candy. And they, what was it? Didn't they throw rotten eggs at them or something?
Yeah, but I think before that, they threw something in there. They, like, threw a bag, which the bullies thought it was candy, so they opened it up. But there was a funny word, and it was Old Man Undies.
Yeah. So, didn't they throw them a bag of dog poop?
Yeah.
Yeah. Which they, you know, obviously the bullies got all upset with them. And ended up, chasing them, you know. And so they all start running away, and they kind of try to sneak into... Well, they did sneak into the drive-in theater. And they ended up getting into this guy's car, which they end up kind of becoming friends with, and his name was Ramon.
Kind of like ramen, which me and my brother eat.
Oh, yeah, I know. You guys like ramen. So they get in there in the car with Ramon, and obviously the bullies, you know, come looking for them, and Ramon kind of sticks up for them, you know, because they know he's from out of town, because, you know, Ramon is kind of like mysterious. He's coming from a different city. He's kind of like passing through, and he, you know, so they get all upset with him, and as they leave, was it Stella that said, hey, you want to go to a haunted house?
Yeah, she asked if she wanted to go in a haunted house, and one of those haunted houses had someone named Sarah, who wrote a book about people so they could die, and like she wrote stories with her blood. The blood thing kind of like reveals at the end, like mostly at the end, but she writes stories with her blood, so, and those stories come to life.
Yeah, so when they go into the haunted house that they're hiding from the bullies, so they're kind of like in the basement, and then remember, what did the bullies do?
Once they found the book, the bullies locked them in the basement. But Chuck's sister, her name is Ruthie, she told the bullies not to do it because one of them was her boyfriend. And they just threw her into the basement. And then Stella started looking in the book, and then like the walls turned black, and I didn't know that when everything like walls turned black, I didn't know that it would be a good spirit. How you know it's a good spirit? It was because when it got to the door opened for them.
Yeah, and like you were saying, so Ruth was dating one of the guys there.
His name was Tommy.
And he actually threw her down there. And I'll tell you this, if you ever have a boyfriend like that, I'm going to break his legs.
And by the way, the boyfriend's name was Tommy.
Yeah. So all of a sudden, you know, the spirit basically unlocks the door.
Yeah.
And then they're all able to leave this, you know, the haunted house, which basically is kind of like an abandoned home. So they all, you know, thought that was a spooky house. It's a haunted house because that was the Bellows family home.
Yeah, and the basement part was where they locked one of the Bellows. Her name was Sarah Bellows. She was the one who killed her family by doing the book.
So Now I thought this was a little weird, especially because it took place in 1968. Ramon didn't have any place to go, so Stella actually allowed him to stay at her house, and her dad was asleep, so she kind of snuck him into the house. But I thought that was a little bit weird just because it was, you know, 1968, and, you know, usually don't do that kind of stuff. But then again, I wasn't born in 1968, so I don't know. I'm just going to buy with what my parents would say and do, you know, which would be your grandparents. And then it's kind of revealed that Stella took the book home with her. So Stella opens up the book and just kind of starts looking through the stories. And why don't you tell us what the story is on that one?
So she looks through like ancient stories that happened a very long time ago. In the movie, it was 100 years ago. Yeah. And then she comes across this story about Tommy, Ruthie's boyfriend. And she reads the story. Tommy, like, works on a farm and place. I think he lives there. But he works on a farm place, and he needed to feed the chickens, I think, or collect the eggs from the chicken. They have the scarecrow to scare away crows. He goes in his corn maze to, I think, get the eggs from the chicken coop. But then the scarecrow that he has starts moving. And he has, like, this little pitchfork. And then he starts following Tommy because he moves. Tommy starts running as fast as he can, but the pitchfork stabbed Tommy, and then he started turning into a scarecrow.
Yeah, so what happened is he came home so late that his mom said, you know, you need to go deliver these eggs to, you know, so-and-so. And I think before he went to go do that, didn't he, like, either hit the scarecrow or something?
He might have, I think he might have thrown an egg at him, maybe?
Yeah, so, like you were saying, the scarecrow started to move, and then he started to turn into one because then he had, like, the hay coming out from his mouth. Remember, he was coughing? And then it looked like his mouth was starting to get all stitched up.
And this was after he got stabbed from the pitchfork.
Yeah.
Do you know why he started turning into a scarecrow after he got hit from the pitchfork?
I'm thinking it's because of Sarah's, you know, wrote it. It was appearing in the book. So, and then he was missing. And what ended up happening is, remember Stella kind of put two and two together? After she found out that he was missing, and she's like, in the book, it said that he turned into a scarecrow. And her and Ramon, they went over there, and they saw the scarecrow, and they're like, look, he's wearing exactly what Tommy was wearing last night. And the cops, the sheriff, thought that maybe Ramon had something to do with it, and told Ramon, you know, don't leave town, because he was, like, the suspect. And then, do you remember what was the second story that was in the book?
Yeah, it was... who took my toe?
Yeah. Oh, before I forget, didn't they try and take the book back?
Oh, yeah. So Stella took the book back, but when she comes home, she finds it. Like, she finds Ramon.
Reading the book, right?
Yeah.
And he goes, I thought you took it back. And she's like, I did. He goes, well, it's here now. And then who was the, Azira there, whose story was starting to get written?
It was Augie, someone named, the one who dressed up like a clown. It started writing, and they thought that it was going to come to life. So they started ripping the page out, and it started going on the page that was after she ripped the page out. She saw it going on the other page, then she kept ripping the pages out. Then she dropped the book. And then Stella and Augie had these walkie-talkies. Before that, Augie said that he told his dad that he was going to feast on the stew that was in the fridge. And
oh, yeah, he said he was going to eat the leftovers that they left him.
Yeah, and then Stella told Augie not to eat anything and not to eat the stew. But he ate.
How did she tell him?
Through the walkie-talkie, she was like, Augie, don't eat the stew or don't eat anything. But he ate the stew, and then he thought it was super good, so he took another bite. In the second bite, he finds a toe, and he, like, drops it on the ground. And then somebody in his house was like, who took my toe? Oh. He kept running and running and running. And then she kept saying, who took my toe? Seriously, who took her toe? That's what it's like in the movie.
Yeah.
Because it's who took the toe, put it in the stew. Did she take it off of her put it in the stew? No one will ever know because it's not in the movie. Then, like, the lights are off, goes out. And then he runs to his room, closes the door, goes under his bed. And then she comes in the room. He waits under his bed for a little bit. And then he thinks it's safe enough to come out, and he looks on the bed, and he sees nothing. He looks around him, he sees nothing. But then he looks on the other side that he didn't look at.
Mm-hmm.
Then he sees it, and then he ran under his bed, and the person, like, it dragged him from the bed into a wall. and Augie was leaving scratch marks on the floor. And then after that, Ramon, Chuck, and Stella moved the bed, and then they see Augie's scratch marks.
Did he eat the toe when he was eating the stew? Do you remember, or did he spit it out?
He spit it out, and actually it was Ramon and Stella who moved the bed, not Chuck and Stella. And then they saw the scratch marks. Then they had a meeting, and then Chuck asked where Augie is, and Stella said, like, she didn't say, like, this all the way, but she said that Augie's gone, and he died because of the story. And then after that, they burn the book, and they go home. And after that...
Well, let's back up there for a second, because after Augie was... After the lady took, you know, or the monster took Augie, remember, they did try and burn the book, but they called, was it Chuck?
Yeah, and to meet them in a secret meeting.
Yeah, he met them, and then his sister Ruth came with them, remember?
Yeah.
Because she had to drive him there. So they went to go find out more about Sarah Bellows, and then remember, who had the little red dot on their face?
Yeah. And by the way, after they burned the book, I think Stella found it in her room again, perfectly fine.
Well, they couldn't. Remember, they tried to burn it and it didn't burn.
Oh yeah.
And then that's when they went to go do a little bit of investigation about it, and then they finally figured out that, well, Chuck thought the next story as it was being written was going to be about him. Remember?
Yeah, but it was about his sister. Ruthie, her nickname is Ruth, but I like to call her Ruthie. It was, the scary story was called The Red Dot. She had like this place she had to be at because it was school. Do you, I think, I don't know what it is called. Do you know what it was called?
I think they were having a play, so they went over there to figure out what was going on, and then it looked like she had a pimple on her face.
Yeah, but like while she was doing her makeup, this person said, I don't know how you're gonna cover that up because she had the dot on her face.
Yeah,
and then she looked in the mirror, or ran to the bathroom because it started hurting. And then she sees, like, she thinks it's a little hair coming from her cheek, but it was actually a spider leg. So she tries, making sure it's a hair, like, trying to put it down, but it, like, or up, I don't remember, but it went the opposite way. And then she got a little scared. Then the spider started crawling off, out from her cheek. And then the friends, like, come running to save her because they saw it. And then Chuck saved his sister because she had, like, all these spiders all over her body. Then he just, it gets a little... like a big, big bucket of water, and puts it all over Ruthie.
Now, let me ask you this question. Now, was she imagining that these spiders were all over her face, or were they really there? Because I think her brother Chuck was just, did he throw the bucket because he saw the spiders, or just to make her snap out of her hysteria?
I don't really remember.
But yeah, so they were able to get all the spiders off of her, and then they kind of took her away in an ambulance, and they were kind of worried that she kind of went crazy because it was a very traumatic experience.
And I think she was imagining it, or it was in real life. The reason it could be in real life was because why would Chuck, Ruthie's sister, brother throw it all over her body. A, if she was imagining it, that makes sense because after he threw the water on her, she kept saying, get it, get them off, get them off, get them off.
Okay. No, that makes perfect sense. You know what? Let's take a quick break, and then we'll come back and then we'll finish talking about the other stories for the other friends, okay?
Okay. Let's go on commercial break.
Yep. All right, thank you for hanging in there with us. We're back. So let's finish up with scary stories to tell in the dark. So after, you know, they end up saving Ruth, and she goes off to the ambulance. She goes to the doc, to the hospital, because it was a very traumatic experience for her. The trio, Chuck, Stella, and Ramon, they all decide to go and pay a visit to Lulu, who happened to be the little girl that grew up at the Bellows home because her mom was kind of like the housekeeper and maid. So they lived, you know, on the premises. So she was there to see how Sarah was, treated when she was, you know, with her family. Obviously, Lulu's like in her late 80s, early 90s, and she happens to be blind. So when they went there, it was funny because even though she was blind, she kind of had that she felt the presence of her book. And then, you know, they gave her the book and she could feel, and she's telling her, you know, why did you take this from her? She's very upset. And then remember the little music was playing,
mm-hmm.
From the little, was it jewelry box?
Yeah. What was Lulu singing?
I don't remember what she was singing, but Lulu told him that Sarah didn't die in the house. She was over at the mental hospital. So they all took the bus over to the mental hospital to get the records. And unfortunately, you know, the head nurse there told them that they had to wait for 6 weeks to get the records, because they're like, oh, we can't give you patient records. But they're like, oh, well, this patient was here over 100 years ago. And then they're saying that they're trying to write up an article for school. So they're doing a research on, you know, hospitals and things like that. And they ended up sneaking in. They were going into the red room, you know, Chuck was always afraid of. So they go in to where only authorized personnel are supposed to be at. And they see where the record room is. And I guess it's called, you know, the red room. He didn't want to go there because he was afraid, because he's had this one dream. So they ended up going, and, you know, Chuck stayed behind. Want to tell us about what happened to Chuck and the story?
Yeah. It was the same thing that happened in his dream, which the story was, so there was this red room with this big, fat, pale lady whispering, run while you still can, like that. She was saying, run while you still can, to Chuck. And then he tries turning around. Every place, every turn he does, he sees the big fat pale lady. And then he gets to this one point where he keeps turning around, and there's four places. And then he keeps turning and turning. And then he sees the big fat pale lady in every place and turns.
Yeah, because she basically is coming down each hallway, and he's right in the center, and they all meet up.
Yeah, and then he gives one of them a hug, and then he, like, gets dissolved into her. Like, he sinks into her, and then he's gone for good.
Yeah, she kind of absorbs him. The whole thing, that, you know, because it's a red room, is because the alarms go off and it's all flashing red. So that's how it's the red room. So even though he didn't follow them where he was, but where he decided to stay at became the red room because of that.
Yeah. And then Stella and Ramon run and they find his lucky pen.
They don't see him, but yeah, that's all they find. And then obviously they end up getting arrested. So Stella and Ramon, they both get taken to jail. They don't like Ramon, and then they give Stella a chance to call her dad, but she doesn't call her dad, or she calls her dad and tells her that, you know, she'll be fine. And the sheriff just doesn't understand why she won't have her dad come and pick him up. So she decides to stay in jail with Ramon. And they plead with the sheriff, you know, that they're not crazy. They're trying to tell him the stories, but he doesn't believe them. Until what happens?
By the way, I think Stella wanted to stay in jail so she can be with Ramon and make sure Ramon doesn't die. And then the next story is writing itself again. And it was about Ramon. And it was the story about the jangly man.
Yeah. And the reason why Ramon is kind of mysterious is because Ramon, his brother, went to the army. And was his brother killed? Do you remember?
I don't remember. All I know was because... All I know is that his dad used to tell him this story.
Yeah, but the reason why Ramon was because mysterious and running away is because he was trying not to go to the army. Because his brother was in the army. I think his brother died. You're correct about the dad telling him the story about the jangly man. So the lights go out and, you know, Stella's asking him, you know, whose story is it? And the sheriff doesn't look. And then what do they hear? What happens?
The dog starts barking and barking at the chimney because, like, 1 minute later, or the reason the dog was barking was because something was about to come down.
And it wasn't Santa Claus.
It was the jangly man.
The jangly man? Tell us what the jangly man is or looks like.
So, like, he can, like, break off his arm. He can break off his arms from his body, break off his legs from his body, and break off his head, and he's super flexible, and
he basically can break himself up into pieces.
Yeah, so,
and then put himself back together.
Yeah, and so, like, lots of pieces. First his head comes down, which is scary. Then the rest of his body comes down, and then he puts himself back together, and then he kills the sheriff.
But before he kills the sheriff, what does he say?
Me, Ty, Doe, Ty, Walker.
Yeah. I mean, at this point, when you see a head come down the chimney, I don't know about you, but I'm not going to stick around and find out what else is coming down that chimney. I'm going to go and run and get out of there. Or at least wait till half of the body comes out. That way I know I have some time before they get the other half down there and then chase me. But poor Ramon and Stella, they were stuck in their cells because it, you know, it killed the sheriff. And it was kept trying to
kill Ramon.
Yeah. And it kept calling him, what, a draft dodger or a coward or something like that?
Yeah, coward.
And they were finally able to get out of the out of their cells.
And what I thought he said, me, Ty, no, die, Walker.
Oh, okay.
Because I don't think you can kill him because the officer kept shooting him in the head, I think, but he didn't die.
Yeah, he didn't die. And so they got out, and they decided to split up. So Stella was going to go over to Sarah's house, and Ramon was going to distract the jangly man. But the jangly man just kept hanging on to that car no matter what, huh?
Yeah, and then he, like, kind of crashes the police car into a big truck, and then he gets stuck. And then he breaks himself apart.
Yeah, so then Ramon runs over to the to Sarah's house to go meet up with Stella, and he's carrying, isn't he carrying the book with him?
Yeah.
Yeah, so he goes.
No. Stella's carrying the book to return it.
Oh, that's right. So he's going to go look for, to help her. So as he's, you know, going to the house and, you know, the jangling man is chasing him, he goes into the house and he can't find Sarah. What happened to Sarah? Do you remember?
It wasn't Sarah. It was Stella.
I mean, it was Stella. I'm sorry. Stella, Sarah, they sound the same.
Yeah. And while she's sitting, like, standing at the starting of the stairs, her story's getting written. It was called The Haunted House. So she was, like, in the story, and it was like she was Sarah Bellows, getting in trouble and getting locked down in the basement part.
Yeah, so basically she was able to see how Sarah was treated, and they ended up finding out that the fact that Sarah wasn't actually bad, it was actually her, it was like her siblings, her family that were bad, and they were punishing her. So she got to the point where her rage of getting punished, she wrote these hurtful stories in order to get back at them. And while during this time, as Stella is figuring out and going to actually meet and confront Sarah, the Jangly Man is still trying to get, you know, Ramon. And they're at the same place, but they're kind of like an alternate parallel, I don't want to say universe, but time periods. She's in the past and he's in the present.
And before that, Sarah's brother, I think he works at the mental hospital. She was getting a electric treatment for that. And the mental hospital, the electric treatment, if she didn't tell what happened to Charlie, which was 100 years ago in the movie, he died like the same way Chuck died.
Yeah. And so anyways, she was able to convince Sarah that she was going to tell her story and tell the truth, because it was kind of like a fork lore where Sarah was, you know, everybody said that Sarah was this bad person, but Stella said, I know your real story. I will tell your story. I would tell them, you know, how, you know, you try to save those kids from being poisoned, you know, because the well water was bad and it killed the kids. So they were trying to get, her family was trying to get her to confess that she killed the kids when it was actually the bad water that killed those kids. So when she finally convinced her to do that, she gave her the pen, and what did she tell Stella to do?
Poke herself and write with her own blood.
So she ended up writing these stories with her own blood, and she was able to save Ramon. And then it kind of goes over to like the next day, and it shows that Ramon is actually on the bus, and he's going, you know, he actually decided to go ahead and go to the army. And she's like, I'm going to write you, you know, for, she goes, I'll keep writing to you. So they kind of hinted that they, you know, they like each other and they're in a relationship. So Stella goes back with her dad. They finally have Ruth back, but she reveals on how Augie is still gone, Chuck is still gone, and she's like, I don't know if they're gone forever, but we'll figure out a way to try and get them back. And yeah, that was kind of like, you know, like the end.
But otherwise, it has a happy ending.
It has a somewhat happy ending.
Yeah, somewhat, you know, happy ending. That's, you know, what I meant.
You know, and the thing is, it's like, you actually did care about, you know, Ramon, and you did care about Stella, and you're happy that they both survived. And then you left hopeful because, you know, maybe there'll be a second, you know, a sequel where they actually find them. I don't know. But it was overall, it was a pretty good movie. I felt comfortable letting you watch it because even though it says PG-13, there was really anything that wasn't overly scary for you.
Yeah, and the same with Halloween that we did. I wasn't really supposed to watch it, but my dad let me. There was only, like, one inappropriate part for me.
Oh, I know. We spoke about that on the other podcast. So, let me give you this. The people on Amazon, they rated this movie 6.2 out of 10. So, out of 10, what would be your rating for this movie?
And this podcast contains spoilers.
Yes, of course.
So, don't listen to these podcasts. Only if you're scared to watch scary movies and you just want to hear what they're about, so you know which movies you can watch.
Okay, so what's your rating? What do you say out of 10?
I give it a 7 out of 10 because it wasn't that scary.
Oh, okay. I gave it an 8 out of 10 because I really enjoyed the movie. I thought it was a what I, as a filmmaker, I believe that sometimes showing less is better. And one of the, and this movie was definitely one that it didn't show a whole lot of, you know, gore or anything like that, or anything was graphic, but it still was pretty spooky in a sense of it kept you on your, you know, on your edge. Didn't have to do, there wasn't a whole lot of jump scares or anything like that. It was just the pacing and the writing was really well done, that as you're watching it, you know, you're rooting for these characters to survive, and, you know, you're hoping for them to find a solution for it. So I gave it an 8 out of 10. Would I watch this movie again? Yeah, actually, I would watch it again. How about you?
I would watch it again because it's, like, my favorite movie. And by the way, the next podcast I'm going to be in me and Captain Groovy thought about this. The next one I'm going to be in is going to be Finders Keepers.
Oh, Finders Keepers. That's right. That's going to be the next one that we're going to do. And let me just give you the numbers real quick. This movie was made for $25 million, which, you know, sounds high than some of the other movies we've done review. But for thriller, horror kind of, you know, movies, that's pretty much it's kind of like a high number, but that's a good enough investment because you can actually get a lot of money out of it. Opening weekend, it made, you know, $20 million. It grossed $68 million domestically, and then worldwide made almost $105 million. So those are the final numbers.
And if you don't like scary movies, just think of this as a trailer so you know what could happen in the movie.
Exactly. I never thought about it that way. That's a good, that's good. So anyways, like I said, go ahead and follow us on Facebook. Let us know what you thought about the movie. And like I said, always give us suggestions. So Captain Groovy and the Final Girl podcast on Facebook. Make sure to listen to us everywhere you can find, you know, podcasts. But we are actually hosted by Anchor FM. So go to there, find us there. Find us on Apple Podcasts. And the best thing, too, all you have to do is just ask your smart speaker and say, you know, play Captain Groovy and the Final Girl podcast. I know we have a couple people that do that already. So remember what we say here. Go and watch those movies and
stay groovy.
All right, we'll see you next time.